Now we look to God's word as we read it in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. John 15, and thinking of the words of Jesus here in the verses from 1 through to 17. This was the last night that Jesus was to spend in the company of his disciples prior to his death. And he speaks to them about how they're to think of themselves and how they're to think of him and what they're to expect will come in their lives. And we have words about the vine, about the branches, and about the fruit. Jesus speaks about God, his Father, as being like a gardener. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." And then that's a theme that Jesus develops over the verses that follow. God the Father is the gardener. He is the man in charge of the garden. It's his. And Jesus himself, he compares himself to the vine. God the Father is the gardener. God the Son is the vine. There are branches attached to the vine. And these are those who profess to be Christians. And then there is fruit that is produced by the branches. And the fruit in this context speaks about obedience to God. And the one aspect of obedience to God that is particularly emphasized for the disciples is love for one another. And God is this great gardener, and the fruit that he wants to see is love for one another among his people. And he is going to so work that this fruit will be produced. God is a gardener who is serious about producing fruit. And there are five lines of thought that I want to emphasize that Jesus has here as he speaks about himself as the vine and his followers as the branches. First of all, there is the uncomfortable thought that branches which bear no fruit are cut off. That's what we're told in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He cuts it off. And verse 6, he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If the branch produces no fruit, well then God has a way of dealing with that. It is no use. It's in his garden, and it's in his garden to produce fruit, and if it's not going to produce fruit, God cuts it off and throws it away, and it's burnt in the fire. Well, what does that mean in terms of people? What is Jesus teaching his disciples by that particular part of his illustration? Who does this refer to? Is Jesus saying that a person can be a Christian for a time in their life, but then God will cut them off and he'll throw them away and he'll reject them and abandon them and put them into the fire? Well, that cannot be, because that would contradict what the scriptures teach elsewhere. Jesus says, for example, in John's Gospel, chapter 10, he talks about his people as being his sheep, and he says, my sheep shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. True believers do not lose their salvation. True believers are not cut off by God. But there are people who see themselves as Christian believers. They think of themselves as being Christians. They maybe do the same kind of things that Christians do, and yet they will be cut off. And ultimately, Jesus will say to them, "Away from me, I never knew you." So this is a warning. It's a warning to religious people in particular. A little bit of religion will not save your soul. A little bit of going to church, a little bit of reading the Bible, saying a few prayers, and avoiding some obvious sins, that is not enough. That is not what God sees as the fruit that his garden is all about. It's God who says what he's looking for. God is the gardener. He knows the fruit that he wants to see. And that isn't it. God wants something more than that. And if God doesn't see what he wants to see, well, God is able to cut off and put into the fire. Many people have their own ideas about how to please God. It's God's ideas that matter. And we have to accept that God is the gardener, that he knows what he wants, and this is what he says. If God determines that a person has not produced any of the fruit that he's looking for, there can be no argument, because God is the gardener. So that's the first thing that we see here. The branches that bear no fruit, they are cut off. They're taken away. Then the second thing that we want to note is that branches that do bear fruit are pruned to produce more fruit. Jesus says in verse 2, every branch that bears fruit, every branch, without exception, every branch that bears fruit, he, that's God, prunes. He cuts away at it, cuts bits away, why? That it may bear more fruit. And this is something that is very important for Christians to understand. This is how we can make sense of many of the things that happen to us in life, and we wish those things hadn't happened to us in life. Jesus did not promise his disciples that they would have an easy time as disciples of Jesus. He promises them that they will be pruned back, that they will be cut, and it will be painful. He told his disciples again and again they would face many trials, many difficulties. And when those things happened, they were to remember, this is God the gardener, and God is pruning at me. And he's pruning me back in order that I would be more fruitful. He's not punishing me. He's not showing me that he doesn't care about me. He's showing me that he does care about me. God prunes the fruitful branches so that they be even more fruitful. And so when things seem to us, if we're Christians, to be going wrong, we're not to think God is punishing me for some wrong thing that I've done. We're to realize God is doing this for my good. God is going to make me more fruitful because of these things in which I am hurting. It is normal Christian experience to have difficulties, to have trials, to have setbacks, to have disappointments, to have failures. That's what it feels like when God takes out his pruning knife. It's not because we're no good. It's because we are good. It's because God sees the fruit that we've produced already, and God says, but you know, there can be more. And if I just cut this out, cut this off, there will be more fruit that will come. God doesn't deal with us in a way that a spoiled child is dealt with. Spoiled child becomes self-centered, and that's not the kind of children that God wants to produce. And so he disciplines us, and he prunes us. And God wants us to grow up, to mature, to become more fruitful. And so he knows that he has to do a work of pruning in our lives. There are things that we cannot just learn by reading the Bible. It's vital that we read the Bible. It's vital that we understand the Bible. But there's things you can't learn just by reading the Bible. It's only when that truth of God's word becomes real in your life experience that you really learn those things and you really know those things. Jesus says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. If you're a Christian and you've not known any pruning, it's coming. Every branch, he prunes. Every fruitful branch, he prunes. And look upon that pruning as a good sign. God sees fruit in me, and he wants more of it. And he's doing this for my good and for his honor. Branches that do bear fruit will be pruned to give more fruit. God delights in the good that he sees in us, but he wants to see more. He's easy to please, but he's hard to satisfy. He delights in what is there, but he's always wanting to see more. And God's pruning will continue in the lives of those who do bear fruit. So that's the second thing. The third line of thought then is that fruit only comes through abiding in Christ. Jesus emphasizes this. It's his main point, in a sense. Verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, or apart from me, or separated from me, you can do nothing. Get yourself detached from me, Jesus says, and you can do nothing. But abide in me. Stay connected to me, and you'll produce much fruit. And this is something we need to understand as believers. When we do things and we're really just doing them in our own strength, well, we really accomplish nothing. There is no fruit produced if the strength hasn't come from the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's just our own strength, well, then there isn't that fruit that God is looking for. The strength that we need, it must come to us from the Lord Jesus. He is the vine, and we are the branches, and the strength that we need has to come first of all up through the vine and then into us, the branches. And we are commanded that we have to abide in Jesus Christ. We have to be connected to him every day in order to produce the fruit that God wants to see in us. Apart from Jesus Christ, separated from Jesus, we can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing, says Jesus. And one way of knowing where we stand in this is by thinking about the way that we pray. If we just go and do things without praying about those things, well, then we're not drawing our strength from the Lord. We're doing it in our own strength. And that's no good. In order to produce what God wants, we have to deliberately draw our strength from Jesus Christ. Fruit only comes through abiding in Christ. Many people will be busy getting on with things, things that have to be done, and they'll not have any time to look to Jesus Christ. They'll not have any time to pray to Him. But Jesus says, this is what you need to do. You need to abide in me. You need to remain in me. You need to keep that connection. I have a dodgy phone charger at home, and I can connect my mobile phone up to the charger, and I can have it sitting there thinking it's charging, but it's not, because there's a dodgy connection, and I have to set something on top of the thing that goes into the phone, and if there's that bit of weight pressing down on it, it'll be fine. There has to be the connection for the power to flow. And we have to be connected to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, there is no power. We'll be flat and we'll be useless and we'll never produce what God as the gardener wants to see. So fruit only comes by abiding in Christ. And then the fourth thing is that by abiding in Christ, fruit does come. If anyone abides in Christ, they will be fruitful. Jesus says that if a man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And so that's good news. God wants to see fruit. That's the thing he delights in. And if we abide in Christ, God will see much good fruit in us. Much fruit, it says. And so the secret of spiritual fruitfulness is keeping that close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That you don't do your own thing in your own strength, but you're looking to Him every day, drawing your strength from Him. And the Lord promises that when we do that, we will see our prayers being answered. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. We'll see great answers to our prayers because we'll pray the Lord's kind of prayers. We'll be asking for the things that He wants to give us because we'll develop the mind of Christ. We'll think as He thinks. Often our prayers aren't answered the way we want because we don't want things for Jesus' sake. We want them for our own sake. But as we abide in Christ, we learn His mind and we get what we ask for because we're asking for what He wants for us. And we're promised that when we abide in Christ, we will bear much fruit. And God will be looking for that fruit, and God will see it, and God will be well pleased. And Jesus says in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And it's a good thing when Christians are fruitful, when there is this obedience to the Lord's commands, when there is this love for one another that Jesus emphasizes in this portion. And God rejoices when we bear much fruit. But verse 11 tells us that we will also rejoice when we know that there is this fruit produced. These things I have spoken to you, Jesus says, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. There is a joyfulness that comes in serving the Lord and knowing that that's what you're doing. Joy in life doesn't come by holding on to worldly pleasures and seeking to keep God happy at the same time. Joy comes when we line ourselves up with what God wants. And when there is that spiritual fruitfulness, God is delighted and we know a joy within ourselves. And so it is that by abiding in Christ, fruit does come. And then the fifth line of thought in these verses is that that fruit will last. There may be some fruit that you've bought at times, and you think, well, that'll do us for a while, but the next day some of it's gone off and it's bad and it hasn't lasted. Well, in verse 16, Jesus reminds his disciples of where the credit is to go for the fruit that they will produce. He says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Jesus came looking for them, and he says, "I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that your fruit should last." And that's true for all followers of Jesus Christ. He has called people to follow him. He has chosen us to be fruitful for him, and that fruit will last. The things that Christians do for the Lord will not be wasted. The energies that we put into serving the Lord will not prove to have been pointless. The fruit that is produced will last. In this life, it may be the case that it doesn't seem to amount to very much, but it's God who knows what he's looking for. God knows what he wants to see. And God judges us according to our faithfulness and not according to some human standard of accomplishment. There are people who have changed the face of the world by their inventions. And what they've invented is used in so many different places. Or there are people who have changed the face of the world through their military campaigns. But in the eyes of God, those people are cut off and thrown into the fire because there was no thought of Christ in anything they did. They were utterly disconnected from the vine. Other people would seem, on the surface of it, they've made no difference to the world at all through the way they lived their lives. And yet, if those people were seeking to obey and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, God will treat them as princes and princesses. And they will be his special children, and he will rejoice over them and delight in them. They stayed close to his son. They remained connected to his son. And they gave themselves to being followers of Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants his disciples to remember this picture and all the time to think, what am I? I'm a branch. I'm a branch, and a branch is no good on its own. A branch must be connected to the vine. And the vine that I must be connected to is none other than the Lord Jesus. He is a good vine. And if I stay connected to this good vine, there's only one kind of fruit that I'm going to produce, and it's good fruit. And God will be pleased with that good fruit. And God will want to see more of that good fruit. And so God will be pruning away at me. I'll be cutting off the things that are draining away the energy and aren't producing anything. He wants to get rid of those things in order that all the goodness will go into producing beautiful fruit that God delights in. And this is what Jesus brings to his disciples so close to his death. He wants them to remember that that's what they are. They are branches. And they're going to be fruitful because they're going to remain connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. A little while earlier, these same disciples were arguing among themselves about which one of them was the greatest, about who among them would leave the biggest mark upon the world. Well, Jesus is saying to them, look, I don't want you to leave your mark on the world. I want you to leave my mark upon the world. And it's when we do that that we can know that our lives will not have amounted to nothing. God is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. And God wants to see the fruit of obedience, the fruit of brotherly, loving kindness. And when God sees that, God says, that's good. I want more of that. And he'll cut away to produce more of the same. And the alternative is that we can reject Christ. We can follow our own ambitions. We can do our own thing. And there is no fruit. And God is nothing to be pleased with. And we're useless in his garden. And so we're urged to have this close connection to Jesus Christ. And we're promised that when we have that, we will bear much fruit. Amen. Now we're going to sing to his praise.